Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. The current debate over the state gas tax and highway funding doesn't only have implications for state roads. Money for local road construction and maintenance are affected too. Cities and towns across North Carolina also want the General Assembly to give them more ways to raise revenue for the services they provide. It's a key item on this session's legislative agenda of the North Carolina League of Municipalities. Paul Meyer with the League joins us now to talk about it. Well, Paul, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. Appreciate your time as always.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
A lot to talk about in a few minutes that we have about the 2015 General Assembly session. I guess we should start with a big concern of local governments across the state, which is their revenue, ability to raise revenue, how their budgets are doing. A lot of people have probably heard about the privilege tax going away with a promise or a commitment that that money would be replaced. Where are we with all those?
Last session, there was a discussion about the privilege tax, and the legislature decided to repeal the authority of municipalities to levy a privilege tax effective July 1, 2015. So what does that mean? That means that municipal governments collectively will lose, going into their next budget cycle, about $62.5 million. Doesn't sound like a lot of money in the scheme of the world, but for a lot of these cities, it's a big percentage of their budgets. So we expect that we'll see either cuts being made in individual jurisdictions or property tax increases being applied to replace that money. As far as where the issue is, there were commitments made by House and Senate finance leadership to resolve this, and the governor as well was part of that in extracting some of those promises. There's conversations right now about how to resolve that, but there's no silver bullet to this, at least yet. My expectation is that all this is tied up in what potentially would be tax reform 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. And obviously at the League, representing all the cities in the state, we're working hard to find a solution for everybody. But the privilege tax really was just kind of the next iteration of financial hit that cities have taken over the last 10 years. It's sort of been death by a thousand cuts, which is putting us in a really tight situation because now the only revenue source that cities control is the property tax. And without a diversification of those revenue sources, that's a dangerous place to be.
And this also comes at a time when the possible reduction in the state gas tax will be another hit for cities.
I mean, obviously, we're all enjoying lower gas prices now in January and February of 2015. But when the gas tax resets in July, the gas tax rate resets in July of 2015, we expect there'll be a decrease of 6 to 7 pennies, which sounds wonderful on its face. But what that means for state and municipal governments is a significant decrease in those revenues. For cities, none of that will hit until the next fiscal year. But what does that mean? It means probably a loss of 20% of the money that we use to repair and build local roads. And for the state, it will be a significant decrease in their revenues to build and maintain the highway system. So, you know, again, another tough situation. If the legislature doesn't act, it'll happen.
You mentioned the limited revenue options. Is part of the discussions expanding those revenue options or just a way to replace the privilege tax revenue, or how does all that work?
Yeah, we're talking far beyond the privilege tax. Again, death by a thousand cuts, which means if we don't resolve this, you're in a death spiral for cities statewide on the revenue side, which means, again, reduced services or increased property taxes. So, yeah, we're talking about other revenue sources. There's been a big push to transform our state tax structure from an income tax base to a consumption tax structure. And right now, municipalities don't control, on the sales tax side, while 70% of retail sales take place within municipalities, only about 35% of that money comes back to municipalities in terms of the sales tax derived. The vast majority goes to county governments, which means that if we don't end up with some other option for cities, it's just going to be this lingering financial problem.
The North Carolina legislature let the historic tax credit expire in the last session, didn't renew it. That's been a boon to a lot of downtowns, refurbishing downtowns and creating jobs. The governor clearly wants it restored. How do you feel about that?
This has been a priority goal for the League of Cities, League of Municipalities, last year and into this session. There was actually a very close opportunity for that to pass last year. It didn't happen at the end of the session. There's a lot of momentum coming in to this session. We've been involved with a coalition building that along with the Secretary of Cultural Resources. And I feel like there's a lot of momentum there. But it, my guess is whatever passes will not be the same as what was in place previously, because the General Assembly doesn't want to have a blank check on those types of programs like they did previously.
And why is that so important to cities?
Yeah, it's a wonderful program because it helps refurbish, you know, collapsing parts of downtowns, and that's true whether it's a large city or whether it's a medium city or a small city. These pockets exist statewide. The credit encourages investment by the private sector, which creates jobs and more tax revenues for the state government and local government from income taxes and sales taxes that will be derived. It's kind of a win-win for everybody. So we're hopeful that that will come through this session, and we're confident that it will.
Does the League have a position on Medicaid expansion? There are a lot of small hospitals, especially in rural areas, that are really struggling, and they believe because they're not getting the help that Medicaid expansion would provide them.
Our membership has not taken a position on that issue. I know, I believe the county group has, but not the municipal organization.
There's already been a bill and a committee hearing on eminent domain, which is another issue important to local governments. Where are we on eminent domain?
Yeah, the bill that's running this year, House Bill 3, is very, very similar to what's run the past couple sessions. The League has traditionally opposed that legislation because of how broadly it's written. My guess is it will pinch off. You know, at some point in time, if our Constitution has changed the way that is proposed, there will be some condemnation required for some sort of economic development project, some sort of project statewide that won't be able to be done, and jobs won't be created and things will be limited and people will be upset on the other side of this one. So I think it's one of those be careful what you ask for scenarios.
I want to go back to transportation for a second. We did talk about the possible loss of transportation dollars in local communities. There does seem to be a growing consensus, at least in the governor and some members of the legislature, to have a transportation bond. He mentioned $1.2 billion. Is that something that's important to cities and local governments?
I think anytime you expand the state capacity on transportation, it's helpful. Obviously, we're talking about job creation. We're talking about state networks. And, you know, in our state, the vast majority of the road network is owned and operated by the state government because county governments don't have any involvement in that in North Carolina. So municipalities view the state as a partner. So if there's more capacity at the state level, it helps municipalities be successful. So assuming we can pay for that bond, that would be something that we would favor.
And finally, before I let you go, and we've talked about this before, there is a constant, not tension in a bad way, but a reevaluation of the relationship between state and local governments. There was a lot of interesting attempts by the legislature to intervene in local events, from airports to water systems and other things that people have probably heard about. How do you feel like the relationship is now between local government and state government?
I feel like we're still working through that. The last rewrites, there was a major rewrite of laws related to the state and local relationship right after the Depression. There was also a rewrite in the early 70s, but it was a comprehensive rewrite. We've been rewriting this incrementally. I mentioned death by a thousand cuts. The authority of city governments has slowly been taken away by the legislature, really over the last 15 years. I mean, this is not anything new. Our goal is to get people to understand that if the state becomes homogenized, if every city looks and feels exactly the same, then we fail to create an economic model that will work in North Carolina. I mean, that defeats our ability to grow the state into the state that we want it to be. So our goal is to be able to continue to allow local elected officials to make decisions that their local citizens want. And by the way, that different look and feel actually promotes economic growth.
Thanks for being with us this session. Good luck, and I hope things work out. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Up next, the implications of a new report about the economic status of public school students. Stay with us.